start the recording on one other mechanism. All righty. Welcome to the Green Tea with Marilee show. This is Marilee Tolan, and I'm so excited about tonight's show. I want to just share a personal note before I get into the formal introductions. I have known this wonderful couple for many years in professional circles and aromatherapy circles and through Young Living Essential Oils. And I am very anxious to tell you a little bit about them and their background, and you will be able to see why I'm so excited and privileged to have them on the show. On a personal note, they are just the most wonderful, giving, kind, brilliant people, and I have got to recommend to you, if you ever have the opportunity to do any training with them or to meet them at any conferences, and definitely getting a hold of their materials, I highly recommend it. These two folks we're going to talk to tonight are true world leaders in the world of therapeutic essential oils and aromatherapy. So I'm going to start out by telling you a little bit about Jackie Close. And Jacqueline Close is one of the few 150 registered aromatherapists in North America. Now, I'm familiar with this credential, and it's very, very impressive. It's not easy to become an RA. Jackie has used essential oils for over 12 years. She owned a holistic health center for 4 years. She taught many classes on the use of essential oils through continuing ed at Southeast Missouri State University and in seminars throughout North America. On a personal level, Jackie has overcome cancer, chronic sciatica, fibromyalgia, migraine headaches, debilitating allergies. Her personal stories of healing have inspired and educated so many people. And her first exposure to essential oils was in a little shop in St. Louis in 1995, where when she experienced a 3-minute session of just simply breathing in air that had been infused with a micromist of essential oils, her debilitating allergy symptoms just completely subsided. She completed years of hands-on training, and she then turned her attention to sharing with others, like she's going to share with us tonight, the miracle of healing support available from these oils. Her husband, Dr. Ed Close, has a very, very impressive resume. He is a PhD and a registered professional engineer. He's a recognized expert in environmental science with over 40 years' experience in the environmental industry. He's been an environmental advisor to more than 15 Fortune 500 companies. His degrees and backgrounds are in physics and math and environmental engineering, and he is an active member of the Indoor Air Quality Association. He has worked as a registered professional engineer in the state of Missouri and is truly a recognized expert in environmental science. He's the author of numerous technical papers and several nonfiction books, and at the urging of his wife in 2005, he began doing field tests to determine whether these essential oils she was working with for a while might offer a better option for mold cleanup and remediation in buildings other than the options that were currently available. The results proved to him that he discovered a new option for mold remediation that would help millions. In 2006, Dr. and Mrs. Close released the DVD Toxic Mold, which many of you listeners tonight are probably familiar with and have seen. I have a few copies right here in my house. This DVD is truly a breakthrough DVD on toxic mold. And in September 2007, their book, Nature's Mold RX, which would be remedy or treatment, the non-toxic solution to toxic mold, was released. So truly, Dr. Close is a world leader in researching the benefits of essential oils in the fight against mold, also known as fungi or fungus, and toxins that impair the body's immune system. Whoa! Thank you both so much for being on this show this evening and sharing your time with us, and how impressive. And thanks for letting me tell your story. It's nice to know what's behind what you're going to share with us tonight.
Well, it's great to be with you.
And also, I have listened to both of you and heard you speak conventions and on cassette tapes and now CDs, and it's really great to have you live. So, Jackie, are you there also?
Yes.
Oh, good. I just want to thank you both for coming on. And I'm going to jump right in and start talking about what the common person, and I was in there many years ago, what we think about when we see mold growing in our homes and, you know, we want to clean our showers or we see that green stuff growing on our shingles outside. You know, we all grab for the chlorine bleach, or we have. You know, you're going to teach us about why chlorine bleach is so bad, but that's all the people know what to do. And Dr. Close, can you tell us a little bit about why that is not a good idea?
Sure, I'd be glad to. You're right. That's the common thing that we've all thought was the right thing to do for years and years. But the reason that it's not a good thing to do, and we've got a lot of data, a lot of experience to back this up now, is because chlorine bleach is 96 or 97% water. The only active ingredient is sodium hypochlorite, and that's usually 3 to 4% in commercial brands of chlorine bleach. So what happens when you use this on a moldy surface, a lot of times the surface is porous, and you put this on there, and when the sodium hypochlorite evaporates, you've got water left that soaks in, and it supplies one of the necessary ingredients for mold growth. And we've seen, we've done studies and found out that the mold will reestablish itself usually within 24 hours of the time that it's treated with chlorine bleach. So chlorine bleach is kind of a surface cosmetic treatment that will bleach the color out of the mold and will take the mold off of non-porous surfaces, slick surfaces, but does nothing really that will keep the mold away for any length of time. If the conditions are still there for mold growth, it'll rebound right back, and we saw this happen numerous times. Plus the fact that when you two other things to keep in mind. When you use chlorine bleach, you're putting chlorine radicals into the air, and if you're disturbing mold at the same time, then you've got a mixture of chlorine radicals or even chlorine gas in some cases, and mold spores, and that's a very unhealthy thing to be breathing. And quite often, housewives will clean mold up with bleach and not wear any protective equipment at all other than maybe rubber gloves. So they're breathing this toxic mixture, and if they happen to get bleach into contact with any kind of an acid, you get a reaction that creates a salt and chlorine gas, which if you breathe chlorine gas, it can actually be fatal. It can certainly give you some serious health problems respiratory system wise.
So you're saying then when we actually are in the act of cleaning mold that there are a release of the spores that become airborne? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, this was really brought home to me a few months ago when I was asked to come in and take samples in a duplex. Excuse me, in a duplex that had one side occupied and the other side was vacant. And the occupied side was a young couple with two very small children. At the time, a six-week-old and a three-year-old. And the housewife noticed mold growing on her windowsill on the north side of the house, and this was in the wintertime when the windows sweat from the cold air outside and the warm, humid air inside. And so she did the thing that everybody thinks is the right thing to do. She got out her bleach and a scrubbing pad and got rid of the bleach, or got rid of the mold. Or at least she thought she did. It was no longer apparent on the windowsill, which was low enough that the three-year-old could actually come in contact with it. So when I came in to take samples, the owner of the duplex, this couple were renting it, the owner said, well, we went over and we found there's a lot of mold growing in the vacant side as well as in the occupied side. So they had called a local cleaning service, and the cleaning service came in, saw the mold in the vacant side, and said, you need to call a professional to find out what we're dealing with here. In fact, more and more professional cleaning services are asking people to get a professional air quality expert in to take samples before they'll even go into a house that has a lot of visible mold. So I went in, took samples in both sides, and to my surprise, even though there was very little visible mold anywhere in the occupied side, and it was all over the place in the unoccupied side, the actual air count of mold spores was higher in the occupied side than it was in the unoccupied side, significantly higher. And this can only be attributed to the fact that the mold was disturbed. In the unoccupied side, there's nobody in there stirring it up, so it just sort of sporulates at its own rate. And on the occupied side, while she thought she was doing the right thing, she actually made the air quality conditions worse. And we found over and over again that where there's small children that have runny noses all winter long, it's often not that they've just catching colds, it's the exposure to mold. And that link hasn't really been made in the past, but it's pretty firmly established now by research.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, you mentioned something that caught my interest in terms of bringing an air quality expert in, and I'm sure listeners, and myself included, would be interested in finding out, you know, how do you go about doing that, and is the organization you're a part of, the Indoor Air Quality Association's, a place where somebody can go to get an air quality expert, and or what do you recommend to check our air quality?
Well, there's a two- or three-fold answer to that. The first is, yes, IAQA, the Indoor Air Quality Association, has lists of qualified people for doing mold inspections and air sampling in areas all across the country. They are nationwide, and so that is a good source, and we've had people ask this question a lot. And if you're in an area that's distant from our location, that's the first thing we say, is you can contact them and get a qualified professional in to take samples to find out what you're dealing with.
And you are located, can you say where you're located? If some
Sure. We're about halfway between St. Louis and Memphis, near the Mississippi River, near the town of Cape Girardeau. And
Can I just interject something here? We have on our website, for people who are interested, there's a lot of free information on our website. And if they go to www.moldrx4u.com, that's M-O-L-D-R-X, the number 4, the letter U, .com, and click on the newsletter section, there's a newsletter there, How to Find a Professional to Do Mold Sampling. And it actually gives you links to IAQA member listings. And there's also an in-depth discussion of this in the book, Nature's Mold Rx, which really has the best, the most complete information available right now. And in there, we even give you the questions about what to ask a professional before you hire them.
Okay, thank you, Jackie, for saying that. And I'm actually going to repeat your website. There's a little bit of a different sound that's coming when you're talking. I'm not sure how clear that is for the listeners. So it's www.moldrx4u.com.
Yes.
Okay,
that's
right. Great, and wonderful resources. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Just to continue, the importance of sampling is that you need to know what you're dealing with, whether you have toxic mold or what you actually have. Very important, because if you don't know what you're dealing with, you're liable to overreact. And generally, the people out there that call themselves mold remediators, they're like anybody else, they're in business to make money. So their way they make the most money is by tearing out walls and ceilings and insulation and replacing it. And so they have a reason to go that way. Whereas if you get the sampling done and find out what you're dealing with, sometimes you can deal with it for much less money on an easier basis. So what we tell people is to, if you get in touch with a mold, with a sampling expert, with a mold inspection, CMI, certified mold inspector, or somebody with that kind of credentials, they probably won't know about the use of essential oils for getting rid of toxic mold.
Right.
And that's something you need to keep in mind. But you can get somebody in to do the sampling, and then you can say, okay, thank you, now we know what we're dealing with. You get them to interpret the lab results, so they'll tell you, yeah, you've got a serious problem, or you've got toxic mold, or you don't have, you know. And then you can take it from there. You can use the 10-step protocol that we've published in our book, and it's available on our website too, to learn how to proceed from there. So that's, I know that's a long-winded answer to your question, but I think all those points need to be, people need to know.
Oh, I'm so glad you clarified that. It's kind of like when we use the oils on a therapeutic basis for our health, right? It's, you know, we go to a doctor, and conventional doctor, they don't really know much about essential oils. I mean, you know, we're in a grassroots situation here, and you know, hopefully people who are on the call this evening and listening to this show are learning lots so they can start implementing, you know, what you're going to be sharing here and then turning around and teaching others, because we have to rely on experts like you that can, you know, bring this information forward. Now, one thing you talked about is visible mold, and so I have a question. Is there a difference between visible mold and invisible mold, and, you know, can we have a sense that there's mold around but we're not seeing it, you know, if people are astutely aware of what mold can do and they start having some symptoms? What would you recommend in that situation, testing air quality and looking for it also, or...
Yes, I'll give you an example. We had, this is one of the case studies that's in the book. There are 20 case studies in the book, and of course I've done many, many more since that time. And so I'm, as any science, especially when it's in its infancy like this, we're gathering data on a continuing basis, and we're learning more as we go. But an example was a couple that had a house that was beautifully, I called it an immaculate house. I mean, you would never guess that there was a mold problem in this house, because there was no visible mold or even anything that would suggest it. yet both of the couples were coming down with dizziness and headaches and nausea, and neither one of them had this kind of, these kinds of problems before, respiratory problems, sinus infection, and neither one of them had been subject to those things before. And it was after they had both spent about a month in the house due to external circumstances that they had to be in or around their house for that period of time. And so they didn't know what was going on. Doctor couldn't tell them what was the problem. The husband even went to and got an MRI. He thought he would maybe he had a brain tumor or something. And he was almost afraid to drive. And these were, you know, these are people in the prime of their lives. We're not talking about elderly people. And so they finally called their air conditioning maintenance man. And when he came in, they took the panel off of their central air conditioning system and found toxic mold growing on the panel, back of the panel. Mm-hmm. And the AC man was somebody who was familiar, is in the area here where we work, and he was familiar with my work, and so he gave them my number to call. And I went in and took samples of the air they were breathing, and it was phenomenal. It was like 58,000 plus mold spores per cubic meter in the air they were breathing. And yet there was no odor. There was no nothing visible to tell them that they were breathing this very toxic air. We did a protocol for them. They followed it, and within a couple of weeks, they had no more headaches, no more problems, and they continued to use it, use the oils on a continuing basis, so that if anything started coming back, it would be nipped in the bud, because diffusing the oils will take the mold spores out of the air, and we've seen that, we've got that documented numerous times.
Were they lucky to have you at their in their neighborhood and at their access? Well, I have a question about this, and then I want to dive into the treatment and the remedies. And Jackie, you might have an answer for this too. When we talk about mold and mold spores in the home, and we're, you know, talking here also about how it can create symptoms in the physical body, does it actually, can it become implanted in the body and start to grow in the body? I have a real curiosity about that. And, you know, I'm speaking from wearing, you know, the hat of a holistic nurse and then also a colon therapist, where I see a lot of people deal with candida. And, you know, of course, we know a lot of that comes from conditions in the body and food. But is it possible to have environmental mold transfer into the body and grow?
Yes. It is, and we have seen this happen on more than one occasion. Floyd Brown actually presented information at the Young Living Convention where he showed mold in the blood, and Gary Young talked about having found mold spores in his son's blood. Mm-hmm. But more than that, we've talked with individuals, one in particular, and we tell her story briefly in the beginning of our book. She called and said that she had a young child who had had repeated ear, nose, and throat infections, and that she was going to an ENT specialist. And when she went in, there were these black things coming out of her son's ears.
Oh, my.
And the doctor, she asked the doctor to do a culture and tell her what it was, and it was aspergillus. And they were saying he was going to have tubes put in his ears because of this repeated chronic infection. And the ENT, actually, the ear, nose, and throat specialist actually told her that more than 90% of the cases where young children end up having to have these tubes put in their ears are related to fungal infections.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, why doesn't everybody know this? I said, because the doctors don't have the research to be able to back it up. They don't have documented third-party research. So it isn't out there in the general public, but we know it. She knows it. And these are the types of things that can happen. There was a lady who talked at the Young Living the Young Living Convention this past summer about being less than 24 hours. She had been given less than 24 hours to live. And she flew to the clinic in Ecuador. And she had mold throughout her bloodstream and throughout her body. And she had been sick for many years, was in a wheelchair, had lost all of her hair. And she went there, and Gary Young at the clinic in Ecuador was able to help bring her back. And when she spoke on stage, she was standing, walking, talking. You would never know she had been sick to look at her at that time.
So, it, you know, this is so silent. It's like a silent killer that's out there, right? That it just, the more we can put out in terms of awareness, and then, of course, thank goodness, treatment, which is what, you know, your work is all about, it's a great, great benefit to society. So let's talk about the wonderful things that people can do for this problem. What do we do instead of grabbing that bottle of Clorox when we've got mold? And I know the answers to this, but I want you to tell us.
Well, it depends on once we see. Well, let me tell you what I do now. It's a little different if you're distant from this area and you're having somebody come in and do the sampling. When I see the samples, I may alter, not really alter. I may tweak the protocol, that's the 10-step protocol that's in our book. I may tweak that a little bit for the specific site, depending upon the level of infestation of mold and the, you know, the concentration levels in the air and what species are involved. And then the basic thing that we do is to diffuse the oils, the oil blend, the thieves oil blend, and sometimes we'll fortify that with another oil in certain conditions and situations that are where we have a really high level of certain toxic molds. And we run that anywhere from 24, that's usually the minimum I recommend, 24 hours, to up to, we've done it as long as 72 hours or 3 days of continuous diffusing in situations where the mold concentrations are very high. And in every case, that has taken care of the problem. And the beauty of it is that not only does it kill the mold, it takes the spores out of the air. So that was one of the problems that environmental scientists in universities who studied mold and mold problems, one of the problems they had with biocides, and not just universities, but even state studies done in California and New York and other places, they were concerned that even if you killed the mold, even if the spores were dead spores, they could still cause allergenic reactions. And with the oils, the mold spores are taken out of the air, and the evidence that I have tells me that it actually digests the mold spores so that they just actually don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is a very important thing. And then the other thing that always captures the attention of indoor air quality experts is what we call residual effect. We have that documented on several of the case studies in the book, and we've done it several times since, where weeks or even months after that treatment, the levels are still way below what they where the outdoor levels are and what you would expect them to be in a house where there's a lot of exchange from indoor-outdoor air with people going in and out and so forth. And so it has a a wonderful residual effect. And then, of course, the fact that that these oils are beneficial to human health, whereas everything else out there, bleach, fungicides, petroleum-based fungicides and that sort of thing, are injurious to human health, so you don't want a residual effect. You want that stuff to go away so you can go back into your home. And with this, we diffuse pretty much the same oils in our offices and in our home on a regular basis, not continually, but you know, periodically or on a timer, so it's running a bit every day, or we do a treatment. And again, this depends on the individual case. If you're in an older home that has a basement and there's no way really to eliminate excess moisture, then you need to be diffusing on a regular basis so that mold, once you get it under control with the protocol, then you prevent it from ever coming back. So this approach has a number of qualities and advantages to it that nothing else out there does.
Well, what I'd like to do here, and Jackie, maybe you can help elaborate on this, is to highlight something that you said for the listener who doesn't know much about essential oils, and I think we've only heard the word thieves once, and this is, you know, that's why I was kidding around saying, I know what to do. We grab our thieves. But let's can one of you talk about this amazing blend of essential oils and the properties and why it actually kills mold?
Jackie?
I'll be glad to do that. Thieves oil is a combination of lemon, cinnamon, clove, rosemary, and eucalyptus oils. And when I started doing the research, looking for what we might use to get rid of mold, these cinnamon, clove, and they came up frequently and very high numbers of research papers. But this research had all been done in the food industry and the perfume industry. And so we were just trying to find a number of different things. But here's the beautiful thing about this particular blend of oils. It has the ability to help, and it has been used successfully on conditions ranging from acne to diabetes, from headaches to athlete's foot. It will, in the household cleaner, we use it to clean our homes, we use it to clean our floors, we use it to clean our windows, our kitchens, our bathrooms. In toothpaste, it has gotten rid of gum disease and plaque and many of the other problems associated with tooth decay. And so it has a huge number of uses other than just for mold. And I think it's important for people to know that. Ed and I have actually, since we started diffusing this blend, I used to get bronchitis every year. And we had a large number of students that worked for us part-time from the university, and they used to come in with everything, pneumonia, bronchitis. It didn't matter what they had, they would come to work because they were in a program that required them to have so many hours, and they went to school this way, so that's, you know, they just came to work that way. And until we started diffusing thieves in our offices, Ed and I were sick every year with the flu or something, and I had bronchitis every year. But since we started diffusing this blend of oils in our offices and our homes, neither one of us have had the flu or bronchitis, not once in all that time. And that's been since 1999. So we've seen tremendous results with this. And I just wanted to add, when Ed was talking about the protocol, here's the thing that people need to understand. They want, if they have a mold problem, they want to diffuse for a minimum of 24 hours, and they want to make sure they're diffusing a complete 15 milliliter bottle of the thieves oil in that 24 hours. And what we suggest is that they take a bottle of thieves and pour a third of it into the diffuser well every 8 hours. And if that diffuser isn't pulling that through there in that length of time, then the diffuser either isn't powerful enough or it isn't functioning properly. if it goes through in less than 24 hours, that's not a problem. But if it goes through and if it takes longer than 24 hours, it is. So one full 15 milliliter bottle of feed in 24 hours in a space of up to about 12 to 1,500 square feet if they're using a diffuser with the correct size pump. And we've seen that work in every single case that we have worked on. Now, as Ed said, in some cases it had to be longer, or he might have to augment with another oil if there was a particular species of mold that for some reason didn't get addressed. But that's only happened in about 1 out of 100 cases. So we don't see that very often. In general, 24 hours in one 15 milliliter bottle of seed oil will take care of mold. But when it comes to visible mold, where you actually have something in the shower or on the tile work, or if you see it in under your sinks in the kitchen and the bathroom, what you want to do there is not only diffuse, but then you want to use a respirator to protect yourself and gloves and goggles and something to protect your ears, because every orifice you have is an entry for mold to go into the body. So before you start cleaning, even with the sieve household cleaner, we suggest that you wear protective equipment. And that way you just know that you're not going to get in trouble, regardless of what you're dealing with. And then you just want to spray the sieve household cleaner undiluted directly onto that mold and use a paper towel or something to wipe it up with. If at all possible, don't use any water whatsoever, and then diffuse again. And the reason that you will still see mold after having diffused is that the spores are tiny enough that they actually do get broken down. But when you see mold, visible mold, you have a super colony of mold. And that is not only mold spores, but it also includes the hypha, or the fruiting structures. And these fruiting structures are more dense number of molecules, so it takes longer for them to break down. Now, bleach will bleach it out and you won't see it, but it'll still be there. The difference is with Steve's household cleaner is that it's going to get rid of it and it won't be there any longer. But when you just diffuse, you may still see black mold, whether it's on wallboard or wherever it is. But if you can spray just the undiluted household cleaner on there and then wipe it down, put those paper towels in a Ziploc bag or a plastic bag that you tie up and dispose of properly so it doesn't affect anyone else, and then diffuse again. Because if for any reason there were any spores that were not dealt with in the initial diffusing, after you've cleaned, if you diffuse again, your problems will no longer be there. And that's what we've seen in the data that Ed has collected over and over and over again.
Very, very fascinating. It's great to have a treatment protocol. Can we talk about a particular diffuser that you recommend?
Yes, that's a good question, and one that especially Young Living members need to know about. The diffusers that are available from Young Living currently, and Young Living knows this, and they're working on it, but the diffusers that are currently available are not suitable for treating mold, especially toxic mold, for two reasons. One, the nice new ultrasonic diffuser puts water into the air. In fact, a lot more water than it does oil. And I tested it and made sure I knew how much water and how much oil it's putting into the air as it operates. But even any water into the air is not a good thing when you have a mold problem, because that's, as I said before, one of the things that mold has to have to thrive is water. And so you don't want to use that one for mold. And over the years, Young Living had downgraded the motor they were using, or the pump that they were using on the diffuser, on the cold air diffuser. because of noise. But we've managed to get a diffuser that has a 6 watt pump, which is almost double the size of in power of the one available from Young Living. The problem with a lesser powered pump is that it doesn't properly atomize the oils that's needed for mold treatment, and it won't cover as much space. I think Jackie mentioned that we, with the proper diffuser, we can cover a floor space of 1,000 to 1,500 square feet on a normal-sized room. And with the diffusers that are currently available from Young Living, that's not the case. It might, for area, that might work in a small bathroom, but still you have the problem that it doesn't atomize the oils as well. So the one that we have available is about the only thing we know of that's available with complete diffuser. Now, you can also just replace the motor or the pump that's on your diffuser if you have a Young Living cold air diffuser. That's not the ultrasonic. As I said, you just have to rule that one out because it puts water in the air. Mm-hmm. But for the ones that the older models that Young Living still has available, or if you have the older model in your home, you can just replace the pump with a 6 watt pump, and it'll work just fine.
Mm-hmm. And where can people again get information on this in terms of if they want to get one of these diffusers or one of these parts to go with the current Young Living diffuser?
Well, the pumps and the diffusers, the diffuser complete kits and the pumps are available by calling area code 573.
I'm going to repeat this while you say this because I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just got an email. Some people are having a hard time with hearing. So if you're interested in getting the diffuser, I'm going to say a phone number that Jackie's saying right now, and that is area code 573-248-4190. Okay.
That's available between 6 and 9 p.m. Central Time.
6 and 9 p.m. Central Time. That phone number will be answered. Is that what you're saying for this particular diffuser?
That's correct. Or they can go to the website and send an email.
So much better, whatever you just did on the sound. Thank you. Okay.
They can also go to the website and click on Contact Us, and that phone number is available on the website.
Okay, so you can also get it on the website, which is www.moldrx4u.com. It's great. You are really becoming a wonderful resource of this very important information, and I think you're the only ones out there doing this right now. You're leading a big campaign, and we all support you all so much.
Well, we've been working to get the word out, and we are having some luck at getting professional cleaning services to work with us and environmental consultants here and there. Our hope is to get enough of these eventually that if somebody calls in, say, from Kansas City or from New York City or Los Angeles or wherever, we can say, yes, we have somebody in your area that not only is qualified to do the proper sampling and inspection, but also to set up the protocol for you to use the Thieves and the Young Living products. want to emphasize that we are not in any way competing with Young Living. We're just trying to get the best tools out there for people to use. And we've been in contact with a number of people at the corporate level of Young Living, and they are working on getting a kit together to address mold. They're aware of the things that I mentioned, the fact that the two diffusers that they have available now won't do the job, and we're hopeful that they will come up with a package that that you can order from directly from Young Living. Of course, if you get the diffuser and the pump from us, you still want to get your products that you use from Young Living. And that reminds me, we haven't talked much about one part of the protocol is to use the Thieves Household Cleaner to get rid of the toxic mold. I just want to mention that because that is a part of the protocol to get rid of the visible mold.
So I have a cleaning question for you, too. In terms of carpets and rugs, and I'm thinking of, on a personal level, I'm being a little selfish here and stealing some time to address an issue I have, but I bet you there's other people out there that have a similar one. I wanted to bring in a carpet cleaner that didn't use anything toxic, and geez, that was difficult to find. So I finally called up Stanley Steamer and found out that they could come in and steam just with clean the carpets just with steam, and I wanted to use some Thieves with it, so we sprinkled and sprayed the Thieves Household Cleaner. You had just mentioned that, Dr. Clozon, and then they brought in the steam machine and cleaned it. But what happens when we've got, say, a moldy carpet, or if we've got carpets that are old, there's maybe bound to be some mold growing, and then we bring water to it, and is that a good recommendation? Or you or Jackie, could you recommend how we clean our carpets?
Well, that's a good question, and we have not really researched. I think that's an area that somebody could come up with a method for cleaning carpets using the oils and little or no water would be a wonderful thing. Right now, all I can do to advise my clients is that you have to make a decision on a case-by-case basis. If you have a house maybe that's been shut up over a period of time while somebody moved to another city or something and trying to sell their home, and in the meantime there was excess water from a pipe leak or rain or condensation, whatever, and mold got started, and you have carpets that are really moldy, you're almost better off just to take those out and get rid of them. And you even have to be careful doing that if it's toxic mold. You either have to have somebody who's got the equipment to maintain the negative air pressure and use HEPA filters and then really dry the situation out. If it's not that severe, you may be able to clean it with normal methods and even add some Thieves, either oil or the cleaner, but then you have to really make sure that you dry that out really thoroughly and diffuse the oil during the time, immediately after you've done the cleaning and drying, so that if in this process you've put any mold spores into the air, you can get rid of them. So that's a good question, and there's no real good answer out there right now for a way of cleaning carpets that incorporates this. You just have to clean it the best you can and then make sure you keep the humidity down and dry it out thoroughly. And if you have an exhaust fan or something, put a HEPA filter in it so it will filter out the mold spores, but do diffuse. That's even more important than filtering out spores, and that will actually get rid of them. So
Can I just add something here? I know that there are a lot of people, and Ed isn't so much aware of this, but I am. There are a lot of people that use these household cleaners for cleaning carpets. And they use a carpet cleaning machine that they either rent or they already own. And they've said over and over again that it works beautifully. Now, the one thing, it gets out stains, it gets out red wine. I've seen testimonials from people in the in aromatherapy chat groups where they were using one part of the carpet cleaner to 100 parts water. If you've got a mold problem, you definitely don't want to be doing that. But if you don't have a mold problem, you can use the cleaner for cleaning your carpet. There was another one that said that they had used a quarter cup of the household cleaner in the machine that they had used, and that it did a great job. I have quite a number of testimonials that I've saved over the last month, actually, just in the last month, where people have found this to be very beneficial in cleaning their carpet.
It's important, though, to say that they really need to dry it thoroughly and run the diffuser afterwards, so that if anything, any mold spores are getting into the air, you're taking care of those. And I mentioned humidity. Let me put in here that you need to check the relative humidity in your home or your basement and keep it below 50% relative humidity. Anything above 50%, the mold spores love that, and they can almost grow on glass if they have that level of humidity.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that if they're using a Thieves household cleaner, they really should use it in a spot that isn't visible, especially if they have colored carpet, to make sure that it's not going to discolor the carpet in some way that they're not happy with. Most people say that it just lifts all the dirt out and makes it look beautiful and new all over again. But it's always best to test it so that you know that you're going to be happy with the end result.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I just went to a place on my program here where I'm seeing some questions have come in. So I'd like to take a few minutes at the end of our call here to go over some questions. And I also have to say and apologize to a lot of the listeners and those who are listening to the recording who probably tried to get on this call live. And remember, Jackie and Dr. Close, in the beginning, I was wondering, how come there aren't people calling in? And apparently there was a mix-up on a number in the access code to get on this call on the autoresponder that went out. So my greatest apologies to everybody. Thank goodness we've had the backup in terms of this webcast program and also a part of this where people can write some questions in. So I'm going to quickly go through some of these, if we can take some time to do that. Somebody talked about recurring sinus infections and cold, and I'm just going to briefly go through them because I think some of you have addressed some of these already. Rebecca from Glendale had some questions about moving from Portland, Oregon to Arizona, if there was a difference, you know, in the location or recurring sinus infections and colds and allergy symptoms since she has moved to Portland from Arizona. That's like a dry climate to a wet climate, right?
Right.
So do you think it could be possible because of the environment that there could be?
Oh, yes. It varies from place to place, even what species of mold are there. One of the things, there was a Mayo Clinic study in 1999 that found that more than 90% of all chronic sinus infections are actually due to fungal infections with these breathing mold spores. And if you go to a wetter climate like that, there is most likely you're going to have different species that are growing and much more of them, and you're breathing more mold spores than you're used to. and it can cause a host of problems. But, you know, the answer there is just to diffuse thoroughly and maybe put your diffuser on a timer so that you're diffusing 15 minutes every 4 hours or so until you get the house completely, you know, get it under control.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tom Perry from North Liberty, Iowa, has written in, and he said he lives in an area where there's lots of flooding. Happened this summer. Mold's a part of many conversations. He wants to be involved in offering to help this. He has Dr. Close's book and the DVD. He wanted to know what he should tell them about these. I think you covered some of that, but here's a good question. What should I not say? Is there anything to not say?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of hard to answer. I want to tell you that just coincidentally, a number of years ago when I was working for the U.S. Geological Survey, I actually lived in North Liberty, Iowa.
Ah!
Not a large town at all. So I lived there for 3 years, so I'm very aware of the conditions there. The Iowa River is nearby. And I know that area very well, but what should you not say? Jackie, you got any ideas on this? Anything to avoid saying about the protocol or the? I mean, that's a hard one.
I can tell them that it will cure anything. You certainly don't want to use the word cure, but you can say that we have found that it is extremely supportive to the body, that it won't do damage to the body, and that it works even for our, you know, we can diffuse, and if you're diffusing for 15 to 30 minutes every 3 to 4 hours, you're going to be removing mold spores from the air. Now, in a flooding situation, when we were in Indianapolis on a humanitarian effort there this summer, Young Living was very generous in sending a large pallet of oils and household cleaner for 200 families in a flood zone there. We didn't arrange for that. That was arranged for by people in Indiana. But while we were there, there was a man who they asked us to do sampling in his house, and the levels of spores were well over 9,000 mold spores per cubic meter, and this was not a house that was flooded. This was a house that the basement had gotten water, but it was just up above the level of the homes where they had been severely flooded. The outside air spores Ed found were over 9,000 total spores in a cubic meter there, and inside was basically the same when we did the before sampling. When we set, we only had one diffuser at that point because this was toward the end. We hadn't done a whole lot of diffusing. We were doing educational programs. We hadn't done sampling either very much, but we were trying to help them educate the local people so that they would understand the option that they had available to them. Well, when we went there, we only had one diffuser that we could set up, and we only had enough oil for 8 hours. And we had never done this test before, but Ed said, well, let's just find out what happened. So he set up the diffuser. It ran continuously for 8 hours in a house that had an upstairs and a downstairs. And when he came back and did the second round of sampling, the mold spore count was down below 1,000. So it had been reduced from over 9,000 down below 1,000, even though the outside levels were well over 9,000. Spores per cubic meter, and that happened after only 8 hours of diffusing with these essential oils.
Mm.
So this is a very, very powerful option that we can offer people.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Lee?
Yes.
That question about what not to say, I just had a thought while Jackie was talking, that one of the things we want to say is we don't want people to get the idea that they can just spray some thieves around and or diffuse a little bit, and they're going to have the kind of results that we've had with these case studies. that's a bit of a problem. So what I would like to say is, if you don't follow the protocol, you can't expect the results to be as good. So it's important that people follow the protocol that's in the book and in the DVD as closely as they can, because if they don't follow that protocol, we can't guarantee the results. I mean, we can't guarantee the results anyway, but we found cases where people have said, well, we tried the oils and they don't work, and then when we question them, find out what they did, they didn't do it properly. They either didn't diffuse at all, or they diffused with, or tried to do it with the ultrasonic diffuser or something like that. So you have to be sure that you're following the protocol to get results.
Okay, and somebody wrote in here if you could go over the protocol again, but I think it's quite lengthy. We are coming to close the end of our time. How many steps is it again, this protocol?
Well, there are 10 steps, but basically, just to be real quick.
Could you just recap it a bit? Yes.
Yeah. You need to get sampling to find out what you're dealing with. Otherwise, you may spend a lot more money than you need to getting rid of the problem. So you find out what you're dealing with, make sure whether it's toxic mold or not, and what, to what extent. Then you diffuse at least 24 hours. Again, it depends on what you're actually dealing with, the severity of the exposure, but 24 to 72 hours, and then do your cleaning and everything. Then go back and do a follow-up to document to make sure you have gotten rid. And this is another problem we found, where people didn't do the proper sampling before and after, so they really didn't know what the protocol had done. So it's basically take samples, diffuse, clean, do whatever's necessary to get rid of it, get rid of excess moisture by repairing the roof or whatever caused the excess moisture. When all of this is done and you're finished with whatever you have to do to clean it up, then you sample again to make sure that you have taken care of the problem. And if you haven't, then you go back and diffuse some more and maybe call in a professional again to see if you've overlooked some source or something like that. But basically, it's sample, diffuse, clean up, sample again to document the results.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it diffuse after clean, sample, diffuse, clean up, diffuse, sample?
I'm sorry, Jackie, your voice is muffled to me. I can't hear what you're saying.
She was saying, is it sample, diffuse, clean, diffuse, and then sample after that? That was a question.
Oh, sample, diffuse, clean. Yeah, that's probably right, because sometimes in the cleaning, even though you've diffused, if the cleaning and involves removing some water-damaged material or something, you may have put spores into the air again, so it's a good idea to diffuse them. If the cleanup involves some sort of intrusive action to deal with damaged or mold affected materials, then yeah, you would want to diffuse again, and then take samples to see what you've got. Make sure the air is as clean as it is outside. Usually it's cleaner, much cleaner by the time you do all this.
Another quick question, Dr. Close. There are so many different types of mold, and are there some molds that aren't considered toxic and some that are, and is the Thieves product effective against other types of molds that we don't want, that are not toxic?
That's a very good question, and the book with the case studies, each case study there's an efficiency calculation for each of the species that were there. And in the back of that case study section, there's actually a table that shows the efficiency of the oils on the different species. And the answer really is yes, that it's very effective on almost every species. Or I would say, you know, with a proper protocol, it gets rid of every species of mold that we've encountered in indoor air. And the first part of your question, some molds are produce toxins and are toxic, and some don't. And that's a little tricky because sometimes mold species that are normally not toxin producing, under certain circumstances, if they're threatened by another invasion of a different mold species, they can actually change and produce toxins to defend themselves.
Yes,
so,
right. Sense.
Yeah. But the bottom line is, yes, doing the diffusing, especially if you follow the protocol, should take care of toxic and non-toxic mold species.
Okay, good. And that was on behalf of a few of Kurt from Asheville and Ginny Noble from Stevenson, Virginia, asked those similar questions. Okay, I'm sorry, Jackie, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, in the book it says that the average efficiency of the oils for removing spores was 96.65, and there were 17 different species that were eliminated 100%, and then there were a number that ranged between 99.8 and 85.5% removal rate in the 20 case studies that are in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me add to that that in some of the cases where it wasn't 100%, it's because those species occur freely in the outdoor air. So when you're doing your sampling after, it's not done in a sealed environment. So you're actually carrying mold spores in when you're doing your sampling. So sometimes the actual available mold spores may have, you know, before you sampled, may be more efficient even than that.
Mm-hmm. How about turning off dehumidifiers? Sue from Fayetteville is asking about that. Is turning off dehumidifiers or any other, you know, machines that while we're diffusing, you know, some people have those other air type cleaners that.
That's a very good question. I would turn off any kind of filtering device because it may filter out some of even though they're very, very small molecular size particles of the oil. So it's a good idea to turn those things off if they have a filter in them. Just dehumidifying shouldn't affect it. I've done this in situations where the basement had been flooded and they continued to run the dehumidifier while we were doing the protocol and was very effective. So generally speaking, I don't think a dehumidifier is going to affect it much, but any major filtering device with a HEPA filter or an ion thing, that could attract some of the molecules of oil and cause it to be less efficient. So I would turn those kinds of things off. Also, people ask about air conditioning. I would leave the air conditioning or heat, whichever it happens to be, summer or winter, I would leave that running while I'm doing this because that's part of your air system in the house. So it's good to have the oils pulled through the air conditioner and the heating system while you're doing it. And what's filtered out by that won't, at least in my experience, hasn't affected the efficiency of the treatment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and one other question, and then we're going to do a commercial and wrap up. And in a E from NC, in a 1,000-square-foot, two-bedroom home, all on one level, do you have to move the diffuser around, or can you leave it stationary in one area?
If the airflow is free through the both of the rooms or all the rooms, if you can open all the doors and you run it for at least 24 hours, maybe longer, and it's only you're only dealing with 1,000 square feet, it should be effective. If you want to be double sure, then you could close the doors and do it room by room, and it'll be very effective in those rooms. But so that's just a matter of how much time you want to spend and how much diffusing, you know, continuous diffusing of oils you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that. And then also I do want to mention, just because this is timely, put a little plug in for Young Living, because right now Thieves is on special and there's only 6 days left. So there's a product called Thieves, or a program, promotional program, Thieves Essential Defense Promo. And for those of you who are on the call who are Young Living distributors, you probably know about this, but it's a reminder to share this information with your clients, customers, other distributors, and people who you know might be having this problem. I mean, this is a great opportunity to get a nice package. So make sure you go to the Young Living site or see your Young Living distributor to take advantage of this promo. And real quickly, it's if you have an order of 250 personal volume, then you will get a free bottle, 15 ml bottle of Thieves. You'll get a 3-pack of the Thieves hand waterless purifier. And then also you get a bottle of Inner Defense. And on that note of Inner Defense, and this is a capsule of basically, what is it, Thieves plus oregano. Somebody put in a question, and I also placed this question to you about having mold in the body. What would you recommend for mold in the body? Do you think Inner Defense would be the way to go here?
Well, what we have found in the past is that the first thing we would suggest to people is that they use Thieves oil with frankincense and oregano in a capsule, a double-aught capsule, using 10 drops of Thieves oil, 4 drops of frankincense oil, and 2 to 3 drops of oregano. And we would also suggest that they take, this is what I would do if I were dealing with this, I would also be taking Inner Defense and Longevity, as well as drinking at least four ounces of Ming's Red and doing the cleansing trio. If I've had mold exposure, I want to take an aggressive approach. Dr. Daniel Pennewell says we have to be aromatic warriors when there is something of a potentially dangerous nature affecting us. And certainly mold can be. So we sometimes swap out for the oregano thyme, or Melissa or Mountain Savory. But as just a first attack, I would do 10 drops of seed, 4 drops of frankincense, and at least 2 to 3 drops of oregano, and possibly 4. But some, you know, it depends on how large the drops are. You may not be able to get that many in the capsule. And put them in that order.
And put them in that order, 10 drops of Thieves, 4 drops of frankincense, 2 to 3 drops of oregano in a gel cap, you're saying. And how many times a day do you recommend?
Well, what I would be doing, if it were me, is I would take that, if I were feeling like I were coming down with something, I would take it maybe twice a day. But if I were sick or I had severe mold exposure, I would be taking that at least every 2 hours. And that would be in addition to Inner Defense, Longevity, Ninja Red, and the Cleansing Trio.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that protocol. That's very, very helpful, too. Well, we do have to wrap up now, and I just, again, want to thank the both of you for being so generous with your time, and thank you for leading the way with this, it seems to be a growing problem of this mold issue, and teaching us all how to deal with this naturally with therapeutic essential oils and these wonderful Young Living products. Once again, I'd like to say your website, which is moldrx4u.com, and you've got many lots of great information and newsletters and articles and also ways to contact you. And so if somebody stays in touch with that website, they'll keep up with what you've got going on. And is there a way for people to follow your work?
Yes, they can subscribe to our free newsletter. Just if they click on newsletters on the left-hand side, and then there will be a button that says subscribe near the top.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, Dr. Close and Jackie Close, thank you so much for being on with us this evening and sharing all of this wonderful information. And just know you've got a gang behind you supporting you in your work, and because you're all helping us, and we're just one great movement together to get this word out about the natural ways to deal with this mold problem.
That's an important thing to get the word out. It's an educational process, and we really appreciate your having us on and have enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. And good night, all. And this recording will be available for all of you in an MP3 format. And I am just really excited to have you on, and hopefully you can come back sometime. So we'd like to have you back. So good night, everybody.
Good night.